Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Reiki Master and host, Phyllis Lee Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now, here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto, and I'm here to bring you Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have the pleasure of having a Reiki student and master from Denmark. Her name is Tove Midtgaard, and she's going to be talking to us about Reiki, Curlian photography, and vibration. So Tove, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And of course, we'd like to know how you came to Reiki and what your Reiki story is.
Yeah. I had ordered a CD in an esoteric bookshop, and when I went to fetch that CD, there was a fly on the counter saying Reiki. And I asked the young guy, what is that? And he said, well, I have no idea, but the lady who put that here is coming tonight to give a speech about Reiki. So I said, well, it would be interesting. I don't know why, but I felt attracted to that word Reiki. And I was a teacher at that time, and I had lots of homework that evening, but I just managed to be there at 7:30, and I was totally taken by the story and the simplicity of the system. And 3 weeks later, I had my Reiki 1 degree, and 3 months later, I had my Reiki 2 degree. And 4 years later, I had my master's degree.
Wow. And during this time, did you do a lot of treatments, or...?
Yeah. After the 21 days, after the Reiki 1, I started with colleagues and friends. And when I had the Reiki 2, the word has spread that this lady, you know, she could do things. And I started having... Yeah, quite a lot of treatments, and I really liked it. And finally, I decided to give up my teaching.
Wow, you were so busy with treatments, you just gave up your job, whatever I had.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Since then I work with Reiki.
Wow. And how did you come to Curlian photography?
Yeah, well, at a certain time I had an acupuncture treatment with a Belgian doctor, and she diagnosed her patient taking a Curlian photo before the treatment and after the treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I persuaded her to try and do the same thing with Reiki treatments. So she agreed to do some work with me, and we measured the fingertips and toes before the treatment and after the treatment.
So when you say measured, so does it look like you take a photo of the fingers and the of the hands and feet, fingertips and the feet?
Yeah, you go into a dark chamber and you put your fingertips and your toes on a little plate.
Oh, and photographic plate.
Thank you. And then you have these pictures coming out afterwards with little streamers. You see, you have all the marks of the fingers and toes, and from the fingers around the fingertips, you have streamers. And then the one who is able to diagnose that can see which organ needs what sort of treatment.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So she puts nails in, and according to that, and I just gave her a full treatment. And we did that several times, and we had an amazing effect. And she was most thrilled to see that this Reiki treatment had a general impact on all the organs and the energy stream.
Uh-huh. So you took a photograph then before the treatment and then after the treatment?
Yeah.
And if one of your fingertips was depleted, we might say that it would be shorter. The stream would be maybe less dense. And then after Reiki, it would become the same as the others, or?
Well, it's not quite like that.
Okay.
But it can be more or less cluttered.
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 What does that mean?
Sort of getting into little lumps.
Oh.
But you see, it has to be like little feathers. It's called streamers, but it's like little fine feathers.
Uh-huh.
And it's beautiful. It's really a beautiful picture of the energy when you see that. And the last session we had together was a distant treatment. She had a huge consultation, so I was sitting in the office, and she went into one of the treating rooms. And we did a distant treatment, and to my huge surprise, the effect of a distant treatment was even more dense than the direct treatment.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Hawaii Takata used to say that 20 minutes of a distant treatment equaled an hour of hands-on treatment. So
yeah.
I'm just wondering, did you do about that timing or?
A quarter of an hour.
Quarter of an hour for the distant treatment.
Yeah.
And then an hour for the full treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah. So I was so pleased with that, and I got all these beautiful photos. I had them plastified. So for certain clients, I take them out and show them so that they are convinced in that way that it works.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And afterwards, I wanted to do something similar myself,
uh-huh.
I couldn't afford having this dark chamber and all the machines. And having worked with a pendulum for many years, I had the idea that I could use the charts made by the French physician Bouvis to measure the vibrations before and after a Reiki treatment.
Uh-huh.
So it was just an idea, and I started doing that, and I saw that there was a very fine improvement in vibration, and I started asking people to come for 4 days, and after some time I got convinced that the pattern I saw was a general pattern. It was not just for one or two people, but it was for all people. That on the third day of the Reiki treatment, the vibration made a quantum leap, and they went to a total different, much higher level of vibration.
Uh-huh.
And when they came back from treatments later, I haven't seen one single person who has dropped down to where they started. There can be a little variation within the level they have arrived on, but never. I've never seen it go down.
Wow. So when people come for more than one or two series of four treatments, then does their vibration go up and up and up, or does it stay on the same higher level?
It varies. Some
uh-huh.
some people they just continue to grow in vibration, and if they come, for example, later for an initiation for a first degree, then you will see another amazing quantum leap.
So when you talk about vibration, what is I'm trying to imagine what that means. So I'm not very acquainted with the names of vibrations like alpha waves and so on. I think about music. So in my head, I've got this person being and then going and then going
beautiful.
But I don't know if this is really what you mean, so I'm just interested in this word vibration.
I think you made it just right. As a matter of fact, what you did, when you see people having been with Reiki for some time, their taste in music changes, huh? So they go from this more heavy music to a much lighter music.
Uh-huh.
So what you just made was exactly right.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, I didn't notice that about music. I noticed that a lot of Reiki people go from being able to drink a bottle of wine with dinner to being able to drink a half a glass of wine at dinner. Have you had that experience? No.
Not really.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if that had to do with vibration, this interesting process with alcohol, because Well, some people would say you're one of the lucky ones, because a lot of my friends who used to have a bottle of wine with two or three people, four people at dinner can't do this anymore because they drink so little of it, and they like such nice wines that they don't want to keep it overnight, so they end up not drinking wine at all.
Okay.
So this is very sad for them.
This is not my experience.
Great.
But I have from many of my clients that they change taste in food,
and also in
drinks, you know, they go for lighter tastes. And lighter food.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. So as you do these, back to your vibration, as you do these, this work with the pendulum, you discuss this with the client?
I take the measurement and I tell them that there has been an improvement, but I'm not going into details. With students, for example, on the Reiki 1, after the Reiki 1, we talk about where they are now. And I tell them that the impact of this higher vibration has a certain effect. So it's like when you talk about the 21 days of purification, it's all linked together, isn't it? Because why do we go through this 21 days of purification? Because our vibration gets higher and we need to get rid of lots of stuff having a lower vibration than the one you are actually on.
So you also take kind of before you initiate your first degree students, you take a reading. Is that what you would call it?
A measurement.
Sorry, yeah. And then you do it after the class.
Yeah.
Or each day.
I do it each day.
Each day.
Because that's the way I know that on the third initiation you have the quantum leap.
Again.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's been interesting because from the very beginning I started noticing this pattern that on the third day of a treatment series or third day of class, the energy shifts. And sometimes people go through amazing stuff. I used to call it healing crises, but then I tried to not use this term anymore because it was a little bit strange. But people would really do some amazing things in their body as well as emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah,
amazing. So, well, it's now time for our commercial break. We'll be back very shortly with Tova and some more of her vibration and Reiki, and I'm really interested in the 21 days of purification. So stay tuned. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Discover how to create the reality you desire, manifest your destiny, and find your authentic self. Meet your angels, teachers, and guides along the way. Explore how karma is created, how contracts can be cleared, and how to heal past life and ancestral pain to clearing your path toward ascension in this lifetime. Learn how to make this experience joyful and not frightening. Jean Adrian's book, Soul Adventures, is available for purchase on her website at Amazon.com and in your local bookstore. She also created a card deck, the Inner Speak Cards, which enables fast and simple karmic clearing sessions. They are available for purchase on her website at www.innerspeak.com. That's www.innerspeak.com.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life, whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto, back from the commercial break with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We have today with us a Reiki master from Denmark who used to live in Belgium. That's where she found Reiki, and her name is Tova. So, Tova, let's see, we were speaking about the third day in classes, and do you have any more to say about this rise? I always, when I treat people or initiate people, I often sense that if they don't have Reiki when I treat them, that their cells are, well, this is very individual, but sometimes they're very reticent or they don't know what Reiki is. That's kind of what it feels like. And so they kind of don't know whether to accept it or not. And as it moves through the Reiki, the 4 days of Reiki treatment, the cells in their body kind of open like flowers. And then Reiki somehow pours into them and the body accepts it. So I'm wondering how you fit this experience in with the experience you have of doing these vibration readings, measurements, sorry.
Yeah, one of the reasons that I ask people to come for 4 days uh-huh. is actually that I experienced that one session was not enough because the body has to awaken to the Reiki. Mm-hmm. And later on when I did the measurements, I could see that with this impact on the level of the vibration, that it is definitely a sort of waking up or opening, as you say, in the cells for this energy. And get accustomed, because I think many people, they have installed in them a certain energy blockage. And then when you start treating with Reiki will very slowly break down this blockage, and then the energy can flow.
Uh-huh. And what do you think the blockage is made of? Is it years overlaying of defense mechanisms and painful experiences?
That's one part, and then the other part can be if you have a very low vibration. Energy, to me, Reiki energy has a very high vibration. And then if yourself is very low in vibration, then it takes some time before these two can sort of work together.
Mm-hmm. So in treatments of someone who has not been initiated in Reiki, then this process might go on for more than four treatments.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But it's always on I have seen it on the fourth day, but it's in general, it's on the third day that this quantum leap happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then, well, I guess we should go back to a very basic question then. How would you describe, or how do you define Reiki the energy for yourself, or your students, or your clients?
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, I've been doing Tai Chi for quite some time, also before I met Reiki. And in the beginning, I said, well, Reiki is a lazy man's Tai Chi. Because the moment you put your Reiki hands on yourself, for example, you have this beautiful flow of warm, like warm liquid honey or whatever in your body. And when you do Tai Chi, you can have that after a long time. It was this sort of energy description. So on my path of Reiki, I have come to be a little more, let's say, spiritual about it. I say now that Reiki is the love of God. And it's a pure energy that always works for the highest good. And when my students experience these things, then I think we all agree that when you are in Reiki, you go into a space of luminous grace.
That's a nice phrase. Beautiful. And so can you tell us a little bit about the 21 days of purification? I'm not really familiar with that, so I'm interested.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was taught by my master that we have these 21 days of purification after the initiations. And
after each initiation, like the first degree and the second degree?
Yeah. And that we should be accepting that the body and the mind would have some reactions to the initiations, meaning that you could have pimples and spots, and you could have tendency to cry or to laugh, or you could have a tendency not to be grounded, you could have, you know, you had to go to the toilet more often than normal, and things like that.
Well, that's my experience too.
Yeah. So it's a question of the body is assimilating this new energy. The 21, I was taught that we have 7 major chakras, and it takes 3 days for each chakra to assimilate the energy.
So when you say purification, does that mean you limit your diet, or it's just a process that's happening naturally?
I think it's happening naturally, and I think people just also naturally react to that, meaning they drink a lot of water and they are a bit careful about what they're doing. And not overdoing their activities, not going to too violent movies and all, you know, things like that. Be careful.
Just to be mindful of what you put into your body at that moment.
And then be sure that you're in a, if you can, be in a quiet environment. Not be too stressed.
Great. And do you see a difference then in your students and in yourself after you've been mindful of this 21 days?
Definitely.
Yeah? Could you give me an example?
Oh yeah, well.
Oh,
they,
cool.
Yeah.
A story.
Yeah, people get beautiful, and they are beaming the light. They come with bright eyes and red cheeks, and and they have a very different regard on life.
Beautiful. So now I wanted to go back to this, to your Curlian photography and vibration, and wondering if you have any skeptics still after your measurements. Do you ever have anybody say, well, that's nice, but I still don't believe it?
Yeah, well, people, no, I don't think they don't believe it, because they feel it. But it's a question of understanding. So they say, but what is all that about? And I say, well, that's the wonder of Reiki. it's still today. I can be very, awful.
Full of awe.
Yeah, full of awe when I see the result of a Reiki treatment or a series of Reiki treatment. And I still wonder, what is it? What is really happening?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's a good point. So sometimes when people are very, what I might say, more scientific in their approach to Reiki or some aspect of Reiki, I wonder if they've lost this piece, but it's wonderful to know that you haven't.
No.
That's a great balance. So it's not about proving. I like this difference that you made, that it's not about proving Reiki as much as it is about understanding what it's doing in your body.
But I have to say that for some people, it is a very good sort of proof in the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
Because I've had people send, businessmen and stressed politicians, for example, sent by their wives. And they come on because they want to please their wives. And then showing these Kilian photos, for example, they relax because they see that there is some sort of effect. They don't have to believe in it.
Ah, this is a great point.
Yeah.
And their process with Reiki is essentially the same as somebody who comes and says, oh, I love Reiki, I'm going to lie on your table and give me Reiki.
Mm. Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing, because Hawaii Otakata used to say that you don't have to believe. You just have to be open.
Yeah.
And that's demonstrated by lying on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
I like that pragmatic approach. Mm. Well, that's really neat. I mean, because in this day and age, people talk a lot about intention. You know, that it's part of the, maybe part of the process of Reiki and how it works is about intention. Where does intention come into this, do you think?
I think the very moment I put my hands on somebody, my intention is that I'm being a channel for Reiki for that person.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't had any thoughts about that the person receiving Reiki should have any intentions. Uh-huh. They're just pulling it.
Uh-huh.
And my philosophy is that the less talk, the better.
Great. Great. Well, some people believe in having an intention, like for the practitioner to intend the energy to flow in a certain way, but my own experience is that's not necessary, nor is it actually practical, because my experience is that Reiki doesn't listen to me.
Exactly.
I can have the intention, but it goes where it's needed and where it wants to go. Excuse me. It's now time for a commercial break, and this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com, and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
For Spirit of Film Conversations, this is Randall Barrow. Hello, Seventh Wave listeners. I hope you'll join me each week as I explore how movies are changing the way we think, live, and dream. Spirit of Film Conversations showcases today's independent and visionary filmmakers and their personal and artistic journey to bring their vision to the big screen, television, DVD, or streaming video on the internet. Spirit of Film Conversations is also for people who make movies, whether the established film professional or the aspiring filmmaker. My show also celebrates the motion picture's unique ability to affect us emotionally, intellectually, even spiritually. So if you want to hear the real behind-the-scenes story of the most amazing and visionary films being made today and find out how you can use movies to empower you in your everyday life, join me each week on Spirit of Film Conversations every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Also, check out my website at spiritoffilm.net to find out more about the movies I talk about each week. And thanks for listening to Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto, back with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And we're with Tove Mittengaard, who's from Denmark. And I'd like to kind of go back to your own story and kind of find this movement. You were living in Belgium, mm-hmm. and you found Reiki there. Mm-hmm. And then did you practice there for a while, or were you just visiting?
Oh, no. I lived in Belgium for 31 years. So I started when I had Reiki 1 in 95, and I left Belgium in 2004.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you teach now in both Belgium and in Denmark, or mostly
no,
in Denmark?
I had a Reiki candidate in Belgium, and she has taken more or less over from me, with others, of course. And now I teach in Denmark.
Uh-huh. So you're back to your homeland.
Yes. That's right.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you find, one of the things that I love about Europe is that the countries are smaller than the United States, and you can move from culture to culture mm-hmm. very readily. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you have seen any difference in the way that people approach Reiki, in these two different countries, Belgium and Denmark, or, yeah.
Well, I think so. Some of my Reiki, in the Reiki community in Belgium, were also very religious. And actively.
Mm-hmm.
And in Denmark, it's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Not to my knowledge.
Did they ever find it being a conflict between Reiki and their religious practice?
No, I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
But they have always had that with them.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
And that was beautiful, but it's not the case in Denmark, yes.
Uh-huh. So would you say that your teaching in Denmark becomes more practical?
Well, I was not part of that. My students who came to me, I never had this religion side of it, because it was my Belgian colleagues. Some of the Belgian colleagues were very religious.
Uh-huh.
So the people who came to me, it was not the case.
Uh-huh.
And in Denmark, it's not. I was in the same way in Belgium as in
Denmark. Uh-huh. Great. Well, it's nice to know, because sometimes people say to me, well, you know, I'm going to this country, what should I do? Should I change the way that I teach?
Mm-hmm.
And mostly, my experience is I just am, mm-hmm. I just can be who I am,
exactly.
And
yeah.
Then people get connected to me or drawn to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, you seem like a very practical person.
Well, I am.
Great.
Down to earth.
Down to earth.
Yes.
Do you have a Reiki story, a practical Reiki story that you comes to mind that you would like to share with us?
I have a beautiful little story about a bird.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah, well, where we lived in Belgium, we had a huge conservatory, very high with glass, and where we could open the doors to the garden. And we had lots of birds in the garden, and one day we had a tiny little blue tit coming in, and he was sitting under the top there. And we tried all sorts of ways of getting this bird out, and it was just getting more and more frightened and more and more, you know. So I said, well, I'm going to try Reiki. So first of all, I distant healed the little bird to calm down. And then I went to fetch a long wooden stick with a little hook on that we normally use for opening the windows at the top.
Yes.
And then I lifted this stick up to the bird, and I just told the bird via my Reiki connection that just hop on this thing and you will be all right. And then this little bird put one little foot on this hook and then the other little foot on the hook. And then I lowered the stick and brought it outside.
Wow.
So that's a cute little story.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. But, well, I've got many Reiki stories. I have been treating severely ill cancer patients. And I have a lady, and a very good friend of mine now, in Belgium. She was diagnosed with lymphatic cancer 16 years ago.
Wow.
And she was supposed to live for a short time, and she is still there, fine. And she is now she is the chief doctor in this hospital in Brussels, a cancer hospital. Has now for the last couple of years asked her what she is doing to still be alive, because in the beginning my friend wanted to tell her, and she had no ears. And now this doctor has gone for a Reiki session and is interested in Reiki, because she is the living example of what Reiki can do for people. And she has Reiki 1, and she is treating herself every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And she even treats other people.
That's
she has
beautiful.
To take care, because she needs to rest a lot, but she is really well. Wonderful example of what Reiki can do.
So I know several people who have, by their own means, sometimes not even with Reiki, survived much longer than the doctor's predictions. And yet they, for them, they say that they coexist with their condition. Mm. And is that what she's doing now? Sort of coexisting with it?
Yeah. She says she makes her Reiki to sleep.
Uh-huh.
No, sorry. She may say she makes her cancer to sleep.
She makes her cancer to sleep.
Yeah.
So it's just like sleeping and hanging out.
Yeah.
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 Interesting.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I would just like to tell the story when she came around for the first time having Reiki. I heard that she was very ill. And I phoned her, and I said, well, I just had my Reiki 2 at that time. I phoned her and said, well, you have to come and see me. I'm sure that I can help you. And she said, well, yeah, you know, I'm very tired. I said, well, you, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, you'll be here. So the next morning, 10 o'clock, she rang the bell on the door, and I opened, and she said, if it hadn't been for you, I would not have been here, you know. She meant that if it was somebody else who told her to come, she wouldn't have come. And she was very sour and very grey. And when she left, it was her first treatment, when she left, she pulled down the window in her car, and she put on the music, some very lively music, and she sang all the way home.
Wow.
And she tells that story to whoever wants to hear it.
That's beautiful.
Because it lifted her emotions, and she was changed in a way that you couldn't, well, no one could imagine. After one treat, it just put her on a level where she was able to fight again.
Uh-huh. And do you think, did you say fighting?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, what does that mean to you? I always have this interesting thing, because we always talk about, I mean, not we, but lots of people talk about fighting cancer.
Yeah, no, fighting to survive, not fighting her cancer, but she had to cope with her family, she had to cope with her job, she had to cope with all her financial things.
Uh-huh.
So it was that sort of fighting.
Uh-huh.
No, she understands very well that you're not fighting your cancer, you are coping with it.
Wow. That's great. That is one of the things I wanted to just clarify for the listeners also.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, it's really wonderful because I loved your bird story also, because it's a great example of how Reiki can be used to really connect, because I feel that in my life what's happened is that I've connected with myself and I've been able to extend that connection to other people.
Mm.
And I feel that in my sort of philosophy that separation is when we have disorder and disease that happens within our lives. Like if we try to separate from our loved ones emotionally, then a lot of things can grow in that separation.
Mm.
And if we try to remain connected and talk and communicate and so on, you can work through a lot of things.
Mm.
And the same for me in an extreme case for war. It's like I feel like naturally human beings cannot really kill each other. But if we separate enough from ourselves, then we're able to actually do the most terrible thing as a human being could do, and that is to kill someone else.
Mm.
But in that moment, we're separated.
Mm.
So, excuse me. It's just interesting to hear these two stories, and I, underneath it, would put the little word connection.
Yeah.
That's great. Mm. And would you say that was, I mean, have you ever thought about it in that way? About being connection and separation?
Oh, yeah. I think that Reiki has an ability to open up, and you allow then this feeling of being connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
It's after a Reiki treatment, you're feeling so much connected to everything, to nature, to everything around you, to the humans around you, and it is, yeah. Well, then it's again this state of bliss when you have this connectedness in you.
Uh-huh.
You'll be totally one with.
Thank you, Tova. And now it's time for another connection to our commercials. So we're going to take a little pause now for this time. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. We'll be back in a few moments with our last segment.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere, on the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
The Unity Radio Hour, more than a radio show. The Unity Radio Hour is leading-edge spirituality, which will help you discover new ways to enhance your life, your relationships, your career, and more. Plan to spend every Wednesday afternoon with your host, Mindy Otland, for the Unity Radio Hour, broadcasting live on the 7th Wave Network at 12 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Central.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence, with Phyllis Furumoto and Tove Midtgaard from Denmark. We just ended the last piece with a very beautiful thought from Tove, and I'd like to just continue this a little bit, but perhaps we're getting into the part about what's possible to actually say in words and what's not possible to say in words. So when people come to you, I know that it's difficult these days. I mean, I think it's really great that you're willing... Sorry, I'm just kind of feeling my way through this. It's really great that you were able to say to your friend, you know, show up at 10 o'clock tomorrow. And reminds me very much of my grandmother, who used to be very definitive about what was going on. And she was very clear that whatever happened with Reiki and with the treatment would assist people in their process. So it's really refreshing to hear somebody be quite supportive and decisive about these things. But I'm wondering if you also have this place of being aware of not diagnosing and so on, and also at the same time, striking this balance between this magic part of Reiki that could do anything. So how do you handle that? Like if somebody comes to you and says, well, will this cure my cancer, or will this make my, you know, tumor go away or whatever?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that I would never ever answer people that it will go away or it will cure their cancer.
Uh-huh.
It's not up to us to do that or to say that. And I would never go into that sort of thing. What I say is that Reiki will do you good in one way or another, but we don't know what. And people, they realize themselves after having a series of treatment that there is some reaction. But sometimes it's not at all what they thought. She was terminally ill cancer patient. And she had a series of treatment. And of course, you pray inside yourself that it will ease her process. And it did. But what she did was she went home and she had a spring clean in her house. She made a spring clean in her house. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it gave her energy to do this last thing before she was able to sort of leave in peace.
Mm-hmm. Do you do a lot of hospice work, or do you get involved in hospice work at all?
I haven't up to now, but it's one of my wishes.
Yeah. Because and for those of you listeners who don't know what hospice is, it's I think it's actually started out as an organization, and now it's used as a generic term for places that take care of people who are termed terminally ill, and it's in their last days. So I think they usually go if they have 2 weeks or less, in theory, to live. Mm. And I know that in the very beginning of my Reiki practice, I had this friend of mine and another Reiki student who really wanted to work in hospice. And they were really, they went in all enthusiastic. And I think what they did was they gave kind of the wrong message. And the hospice people said, well, we don't want you to come in and give people hope or give people the idea that you're coming to cure them, whatever that meant, because this is not this facility. This is not our focus. So they were actually denied a way to work with people there. And then a couple of years later, as more mature students, they went back again and talked to them, and they were then accepted. And they found the hospice work really beautiful. This being with people who are dying and in their transition. My grandmother used to call it going into transition. And I realize now it's not just a metaphor. It feels like the actual description of what people are doing. Would you say that was true?
Well, I haven't worked yet in a hospice, but I have been with terminally ill people, and I think it is a transition, preparation for transition.
Preparation for transition.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And what I've seen is that with Reiki, people get an interior peace. Their energy is not dispatched in all directions. They get centered and calmed down and accepting their situation.
Well, I just had, maybe it's an irreverent thought, but I just had this thought that it would be very interesting, and I don't know if you've done this, it would be very interesting to do measurements on people who are dying and receiving Reiki, because in my experience, what happens a few days before they actually make the transition, their energy gets lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. And I often think of this as kind of being half angel and half human, because it feels like they get very light and very etheric. And have you ever done any measurements?
Yes, I have.
And what was that like?
And the energy gets very high. The vibration gets very high.
Yeah, higher than any person who's sort of living as a day-to-day thing. I don't know how to really quite put this, obviously.
Well, I've seen that the energy rises quite a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's
as
different.
As a respond to a Reiki treatment, and as a, I suppose, as a result of the situation they are in. But I've had my own father and my own mother in my arms when they died, but I did not measure at that time.
Well, I can totally imagine that. I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, you did your own measurement, and that was really important.
Yeah.
Great. Well, it's been a beautiful, beautiful interview. Thank you very much, Tova, for being with us.
Thank you.
Yes, and thank you all you listeners for hanging in there, and it's been really wonderful to be able to present Tova and her way of being with Reiki, so practical, and making this wonderful distinction between proving Reiki and understanding Reiki, which I will take away with me for other parts of my own practice. Thank you. Thank you. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, balancing form and essence for this Thursday. We'll see you again, see you, hear you, be with you next Thursday.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, balancing form and essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.